Online with us this morning, author of the book Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. Colleen Kettenhoffen. How are you, Colleen?
Great. How are you?
Great. Did I get the last name right, Kettenhoffen?
Yes, you did. I'm pretty impressed.
I am, too.
Yeah, me too, because you should have heard what he was calling you before then.
Now, are you in Arizona?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, Jack and Ron, you're going to be getting our storm. We had a lot of rain here and snow up in the high country, and it's moving your way.
That's right. My sister lives out. I used to live out there in Scottsdale. What part of Arizona are you located in?
I am in Phoenix. I'm in far north Phoenix, so about an hour south of Sedona, hour and a half south of Flagstaff.
I know the area well. I get out there two or three times a year. I love Arizona because it's great weather in the wintertime.
It is. It's nice in the winter, and people don't realize even in the summer we can't escape to the mountains. So
that's true. Yeah, and plus there's two swimming pools for every home, so even when it's hot in the summer, you got somewhere to go and cool off. Well, it's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for taking the time. The book, again, is called Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, How to Deal with a Difficult Workplace, How to Deal with People Who Are Problematic. Now, you've talked to a bunch of managers, a handful of CEOs, and you say a lot of them tell you pretty much similar things about different people. Who are the biggest problems in the workplace?
You know, typically... Well, what I did, just to kind of start off and back up a little bit, I've delivered 1,100 programs in 48 states and five foreign countries over the past 15 years. And I started out doing a lot of leadership training for mainly managers and supervisors because, as you know, a lot of managers get promoted to leadership positions based on their hard skills or technical skills. In other words, they get promoted because of an outstanding job in their position, and yet many of them haven't had management skills training. So where I would come in is to kind of help them in how to deal with a difficult employee or just how to communicate effectively. And so they would start to complain about, you know, the types of employees that they had that were difficult. Now, of course, it goes both ways because the bosses need to be effective role models. So when the economy started to tank, I thought, you know, I've got good information that I think can really help people in terms of what are bosses' biggest pet peeves, and then what are the things people don't know or do to keep their bosses happy and hopefully keep their jobs. So I started to interview, as you said, over 200 managers and supervisors to find out what are their biggest pet peeves. And the first one is pretty obvious: excessive absenteeism, chronic tardiness, or the people who they show up on time, but they're what I call the social butterflies, where the first hour is social hour. So that one's pretty much common sense, but as you know, common sense isn't always commonly applied. What was surprising to me was what was number two on their list and number three. And interestingly, when I interviewed top executives as well as CEOs, because I have a whole chapter that is separate on what CEOs and top executives want to see from people, well, it was pretty much the same with them and mid-level, lower-level managers and bosses. And number two was negativity, subversiveness, the chronic complainers. And number three, the phrase I kept hearing, drama, the high drama people like gossips or people who start the rumor mill or the people who talk about their personal lives all day, every day. So those were in the top three.
Oh, like, did you know that Jeannie was served with papers yesterday? Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, we better tell.
And you heard that Jeannie and her husband, they broke up, and he put everything out on the front lawn.
Yeah. Drama, drama, drama. And that negativity thing. Thank God Jack and Ron are so positive about everything.
You know, that glass is always half full. Always, always, always. But here's the thing. Are those employees the ones that don't participate in the activities of number two? Are they recognized? These guys are recognized. But what about the folks that don't do that? Do they get recognized in a positive way?
You know, that's a really good question, because typically what you hear is in the workplace, no news is good news.
Yeah.
You know, if your manager isn't talking to you, chances are you're not the problem. I think more than ever, I really do think bosses are more aware of who the good employees are and who are what I call the problem children, like these negative people or the gossips, or what I also call the pot stirrers, the people that just have that desire for dissension and they're purposely stirring the pot, I think they're more aware of it than ever, because I think in this economy, sometimes it's creating difficult people, people who normally would not be difficult, but maybe they're underwater with their house payment, or they're paying on their house more than it's worth, or just maybe their spouse is worried about, you know, has lost their job or is worried about losing their job. So I really think that bosses are more aware of that, because what a lot of them have said to me is, Colleen, I'm tired of being everybody's babysitter. I don't want to be a referee. Or they'll say, I feel like I'm running an adult daycare. So I really do think they're aware of the good people, because when, you know, conversely, when I ask them, what are the top traits that you think make up an outstanding employee, second on the list of what I kept hearing was team player. They would say to me, I want someone who's a team player, somebody who's helpful, who's courteous, they show other people respect. And they said, not just in the workplace, but outside of work, you know, what kind of a role model are they for our organization? So I think when someone is difficult, they see that this person can be like a cancer that spreads if they don't deal with it. Yep. But there are the bosses who are non-confrontational, and that's where I usually come in to do training, because that's a big challenge for a lot of people.
You know, Colleen, we used to have this thing, and I think Jack and I may be going in the same direction about team player.
Mm-hmm.
What that really means is, how much more work will you do for no money?
Yeah.
And you know, I always say to bosses, make sure that you're not taking the work away from the underperformer and piling it on your best people. And it's amazing how many of them nod.
Yeah, they
when
do.
When I say that, not nodding off to sleep, but nodding in agreement, because they've been in that position. And then it really affects morale, because not only do people see what this difficult person is getting away with it,
right,
away with, but in some cases it enables that difficult person, because now sometimes they see that, hey, if they slack off, somebody else will do the work, and it becomes almost like a positive consequence for poor performance.
You know, here's the deal. We used to look at it, and I fell victim to this many years ago. They'd keep piling it on me, and you know what? Because I'd just do it with a smile. They'd go to the area of least resistance and pile it on, because they didn't want to hear Bill or Jim sit there and go, I don't have time for that. You know, so, oh, well, Jack, he'll do it. And they just keep piling it on. Mm. And so that's the problem some bosses have. Now, here, we've had the same manager here, and we've been on this radio station 18 years, but I think the only reason we've lasted is he's afraid of a sexual harassment suit. But still, we've got the job for a long time. I don't know how he puts up with us, for that matter.
Yeah.
But he manages to tolerate, and we're not the only ones. You know, we've got like a 5 radio station cluster. You can imagine all the different personalities and egos running up and down the halls here. So this guy's got to have a high tolerance for pain, and probably has a pretty good stock of liquor.
When you look at it, man, you know, we're really not that bad.
No,
you know, a lot of people, and if we can say so, Colleen, a lot of people who are somewhat envious, they try to portray us as worse than we really are.
As the evil monsters that we are now.
And that's not it at all. We're sweethearts.
Let me ask you another question. One time, a couple of times, I was program director of a radio station many years ago. And fortunately, I don't do that anymore, and I never wanted to. But the problem with it was, like you're talking about managerial direction, didn't have any. All of a sudden, one day I was at the station for a number of years. Program director left. General manager said, okay, we're making you program director. And I said, well, wait, you'll be fine. Well, you don't know how to handle all those different personalities. Because when you're just one of the guys or one of the members of the team, it's different. But then all of a sudden you're made to be their boss when for all those years you were buddies with them. That's a tough changeover, isn't it?
You know what? That's a huge challenge. You bring up a really good point, because I have so many people who will come up to me privately and they'll say, Colleen, I'm a new manager. My biggest challenge is I'm now managing friends or former colleagues, and I don't feel like they take me as seriously. And what I say to them is, look, acknowledge the discomfort privately. You've got to say to this, you know, friend or former colleague, you've got to say to them, hey, look, I've got to treat you the same way that I treat everybody else, because everyone's going to be looking to see, are you the boss's pet? Am I treating you fairly? And it's interesting, because when I ask bosses, you know, what are your biggest pet peeves with your bosses, or with a difficult manager that you've ever had? The two things that I hear are micromanager and the boss who showed blatant favoritism. So you're right. If you've never had any training, it's really difficult, because you don't always know what to say, what not to say, and how to say it.
Yeah, the blatant favoritism thing, that comes into play sometimes, not necessarily here, but other places where we've worked many years ago. You could just see certain people were just played to.
It was absolutely terrible. It was one station many years ago. The head guy brought in somebody that he knew.
And that's when it really got ugly.
That's when it got ugly, because that person then was placed, you know, untried, untested, placed over those who have been in the trenches the longest. And, you know, it created a lot of hard feelings.
I've had that same thing happen. I used to be an advertising executive and a manager before I started speaking and becoming a leadership expert. And I experienced the same thing, that the manager was so difficult. It was like management through fear and intimidation, screaming, yelling, ranting and raving. And we were living in Los Angeles at the time, and when Cruella would fly back on her broom to the East Coast,
wow,
we could breathe a sigh of relief. But I think she tried to get rid of us. And sure enough, when my immediate supervisor and I down the road, when we ended up quitting, she brought in two of her very close friends that she had previously worked at in advertising. And that's a real challenge.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately we had an exit plan, but it is really hard when you don't have the luxury of walking away, because, as you know, it's not always the difficult people in the workplace. Sometimes it can be the difficult boss. But
we had a deal at a station I worked at years ago. We had a female general manager. It doesn't matter if male or female, but she was really a tyrant. And when she'd be pulling in the parking lot in the morning, somebody, you know, there'd always be somebody on the lookout for her, because we just knew, clear the hallways. And somebody invariably would get on the PA system every morning, and this is how it would sound. Red alert, red alert. That's what I swear to God, and everybody would just disappear into their office and hide. But that's terrible when you work under those conditions, because it doesn't provide a very motivated or positive, workplace, does it?
No. It really doesn't. And then people become angry.
Yeah.
I've had people who have come up to me when I've gone into corporations to conduct training, and I've had people come up to me and they've said, you know, Colleen, my boss is so difficult. You know, I'm to the point where I don't want to come to work anymore. Or it's a difficult coworker, and sometimes somebody who is friends with the boss.
That's what makes it tough, yeah. The difficult coworker who's already friends with the boss. So, you got two strikes against you right there.
Yes, she is.
This is a really interesting book. It's called Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. And, Colleen, it's great talking to you. We appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. I know my sister lives out there in Mesa, so she's listening to the broadcast this morning. She listens on her iPhone or whatever, all those, you know, gadgets that you have now that you can listen to on the live streaming and so forth. So I'm sure she'll enjoy this as well. And I would wholeheartedly recommend people go to your website, bouncebackhire.com. That's bouncebackhire, H-I-G-H-E-R.com. And check it out, the book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. Good stuff. We appreciate you, Colleen.
Thank you, Chuck and Ron, for having me.
Our pleasure.
You have a good day.
You too.
Okay. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. Take care now.